Hare
So seeing that now Devayani, she got her desire, Sarmishta became submissive, she then agreed to become her maidservant, and so then Sukracharya and his daughter then went back to the capital of the Asuras, and then life went on basically as before. So now section 81. Vaishampayana said, after some length of time, O best of monarchs, Devayani of the fairest complexion went into the same woods for purposes of pleasure, and accompanied by Sarmishta with her 1,000 maids, she reached the same spot and began to wander freely, and waited upon by all those companions she felt supremely happy. And sporting with light hearts, they began drinking the honey in flowers, eating various kinds of fruits, and biting some. And just at that time, King Yayati, the son of Nahusha, again came there tired and thirsty, in course of his wanderings in search of deer. And the king saw Devayani and Sarmishta, and all those other maidens also, all decked with celestial ornaments, and full of voluptuous langour in consequence of the flower honey they drank. And Devayani of sweet smiles, unrivaled for beauty, and possessed of the fairest complexion amongst them all, was reclining at her ease, and she was waited upon by Sarmishta, who was gently kneading her feet. And Yayati, seeing all this, said, O amiable ones, I would ask thou both your names and parentage. It seems that these 2,000 maids wait on you too. Hearing the monarch, Devayani then answered, listen to me, O best of men. Know that I am the daughter of Sukra, the spiritual guide of the Asuras. This is my companion. My companion is my waiting maid. She attendeth on me wherever I go. She is Sarmishta, the daughter of the Asura king Rishaparvan. Yayati then asked, I am curious to know, why is this thy companion of fair eyebrows, this maiden of the fairest complexion, the daughter of the Asura chief, thy waiting maid? Devayani replied, O best of king, everything resulteth from faith. Knowing this also to be the result of faith, wonder not at it. In other words, don't ask. Thy feature and attire are both like a king's. Thy speech also is fair and correct as that of the Vedas. Tell me thy name, whence thou art, and whose son also. It means who you are, where you're from, whose son you are. Right? Because then you know the whole dynasty. Or you have a name from the same place. You might have two guys with the same name. But if you have the father's name, then you know. Does that make sense? The monarch replied, during my vow of brahmacharya, the whole Vedas entered my ears. I am known as Yayati, a king's son, and myself a king. Devayani then inquired, O king, what hast thou come here for? Is it to gather lotuses, or to angle, or to hunt? Yayati said, O amiable one, thirsty from the pursuit of deer, I have come thither in search of water. I am very much fatigued. I wait but your command to leave this spot. So even though he's a king, he's come, he's seen the ladies, and when you're dealing with ladies, then you don't just leave. So since he started a conversation, if he had just walked by, that's another thing. He started a conversation. So only, you know, getting the other person's permission do you leave, right? If you're talking to somebody, you don't just suddenly walk off. You say, okay, so I'm here for this, and since, you know, I'm looking for water, then, you know, with your permission, then I will go. Right, because he didn't find he hasn't come to water yet. Right, Devyani answered, with my 2,000 damsels and my waiting maid Sarmishta, I wait but your command. So it says Sarmishta came with 1,000, right? But now she says 2,000. He said 2,000. So that would indicate that she, Devyani, also has 1,000, you know, maids, right? Then Sarmishta has 1,000 that assist her, that then in her service to Devyani. So, in other words, Sarmishta is waited on by 1,000 maids and Devyani by 2,001. Right? Like that. Devyani answered, with my 2,000 damsels and my waiting maid Sarmishta, I wait but your commands, prosperity to thee, be thou my friend and Lord. Yayati thereupon replied, beautiful one, I do not deserve thee. Thou art the daughter of Sukra, far superior to me. Thy father cannot bestow thee even on a great king. Right, so meaning you're from a, not only from a Brahmin family, but such a great Brahmin family that you can't be you know, bestowed upon any king, you know, let alone himself. Right? Like that. So here it's not just because she's said, of all those, now Sarmishta is the daughter of the Asura king. All those maidservants are going to be high grade so that they are able to work in the palace. It means they're not going to be just any old girls. So they're going to be extremely attractive. And then Sarmishta, she's a king, you know, a king's daughter. And then she's a Brahmin's girl. So they're so attractive, right? But he doesn't just think, oh, I would like to marry this girl, because she's in a different group than him. So it's not even something he thinks about. Does that make sense? Even though she's the most beautiful, right? I mean, Sarmishta is a Kshatriya. He is a Kshatriya. So Sarmishta is in the class of beauty that matches him, right? But now, Devyani is more beautiful than that, right? But because she's a Brahmin girl, he's not thinking, oh, I'd like to marry her, she's so beautiful. No, she's in a different category of nature, so therefore, it's not there. He's just respectful and dealing very properly and everything. Does that make sense? Yes. Well, but at the same time, as you can see how he's dealing, I don't think he's making a plan like that. Mm-hmm. Like that. She might, but he's not. You know? Because here, he's just wandering through. He sees them. And because they're so, you know, properly, you know, dressed and behaved and, you know, they're so fair and everything, so therefore he's saying, who are you, that you're just out here in the forest? You know, because the king's out in the forest, so why would they be in their forest? So it must be they're close to the capital or something. So then they say who they are. And he can tell that 2,000 are waiting on these two, right? But he can't. But at the same time, of these two, the one that means there's 1,000 maids waiting on one girl, but she's waiting on this other. Right, so that doesn't make sense, because these 1,000 is obviously assisting her, and this 1,000 is assisting the other girl, but this girl is also assisting the one girl. That doesn't make sense, because she looks like someone from a very high grade family. So why would she be a maidservant? So then here, then Devyani said, you know, it's fate. Don't ask. Right? Yes. Wouldn't he remember her from the well?
Hmm.
Now, did you notice when she was in the well that he mentioned much about her beauty? Did he mention much or not at the time? A little bit, but not much. But now he's noticing how beautiful she is, right? What's the difference between when she was in the well and now? Yeah, she wasn't dressed when she was in the well. Therefore, if you're any good at mathematics, then that means when a girl is not dressed, she's not as beautiful as when she is dressed. Remember that one. It comes in handy when you become a teenager. You understand? There's this idea that if they're not dressed, that's, you know, they're more beautiful. No, it's when they're dressed, they're more beautiful. The more they're covered, you know, according to culture, the more they behave according to culture, the more beautiful they are. The less dressed, the less they ask according to the culture, the less attractive they are. Right? Does that make sense? And unless, of course, you're a dog, right? Dogs aren't well-dressed, but, you know, they like each other. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if you want here someone like this, during my vow of brahmacharya, the whole Vedas entered my ears. If you're interested in such persons to be one's friend and lord, then one keeps dressed. But if one is interested in a dog, then hey, then you don't have to worry about all these things. Does that make sense? Like that. So because she was dressed, because the situation was different, he didn't quite connect. It may have been he had an inkling, is this the same girl, but he wouldn't be able to tell. Really. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah? It's just like, let's say, you know somebody, you've met a devotee here in Mayapur, right? And because of the environment and all that, you've seen them here. But now let's say you go to some other country and you meet that devotee in their place. You may not recognize them, right? Because the environment's different, everything's different. Does that make sense? So, because the situation has all changed, yes. He also just looked at her feet. Yeah, that would also make it more difficult. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah, that's true. This is a very important point. He only looked at her feet, and because now her feet would have been covered, then no, but they were being massaged. But maybe the hands are in the way, he couldn't quite tell. Okay? Yeah? Yayati thereupon replied, "Beautiful one, I do not deserve thee. Thou art the daughter of Sukra, far superior to me. Thy father cannot bestow thee even on a great king." To this Devayani replied, "Brahmanas had before this been united with the Kshatriyas, and Kshatriyas with Brahmanas. Thou art the son of a Rishi, and thyself a Rishi," means a Rajarshi, right? He's studied the Vedas, he's knowledgeable in them. She can tell by the way he talks and acts that he's educated, right? Does that make sense? So that would reflect. Does that make sense? That's why educated people stay with educated people, because it's appreciated, because uneducated don't appreciate it. Right? And then with uneducated, you have to deal like you're uneducated. Right? That's why it's one of the 64 arts to know how to talk and deal with uneducated people. Right? But it's an art. You use it for a social thing, but it's not the people you associate with. Does that make sense? Right? So educated here means cultured, you know, properly behaved. You know, Krishna conscious, properly behaved like this. "Therefore, O son of Nahusha, marry me." Yayati, however, replied, "O thou of the handsomest features, the four orders have indeed sprung from one body, but their duties and purity are not the same. The Brahmana being truly superior to all." Here he's not going, oh yes, a girl has no varna, and so if you marry me, then you'll become a Kshatriya. Does that make sense? Some profess this philosophy. That's there. That will be her occupational duty. but she has an inherent nature. Every girl has her own nature. Right? So that means here he's recognizing this. Otherwise, why he's not just saying, yeah, marry me and then you'll be a king. A kshatriya. Right? Does that make sense? Does it make sense? Devayani answered, this hand of mine hath never been touched before by any man save thee. Therefore do I accept thee for my Lord. How indeed shall any other man touch my hand which had before been touched by thyself, who art a rishi? Right? So you notice that she wants to marry a rishi, so she's emphasizing the rishi aspect of the raja, rajarshi, right? So raja rishi, so the rishi side. Yayati then said, the wise know that a Brahman is more to be avoided than an angry snake of virulent poison, or a blazing fire of spreading flames. Right? In other words, those who are smart don't get involved with Brahmins, you know, like that, just casually, because if in any way in their casualness they offend them, then you have a problem. Right? More than a virulent snake or fire, because their power is so strong that one will be destroyed by offending them. The monarch answered, the snake killeth only one. The sharpest weapon slayeth but a single person. The Brahmana, when angry, destroyeth whole cities and kingdoms. Therefore, O timid one, I deem a Brahmana as more to be avoided than either. So he's just saying this, even if you want, though, I stay away from the Brahmins, right? It doesn't mean he doesn't respect them, they're not in his court. It just means that I don't become intimate with them. They're in their own category, I take advice from them, I respect them, I worship them. I cannot hence wed thee, O amiable one, unless thy father bestow thee on me. Right? So it means in this Gandharva, I can't, we're not equal. Right? So therefore, it can't work. Right? So then, you know, because here is that, you know, but why is it that Bharat wasn't, who was his name? Was it not Bharat? Dushmanta wasn't so worried about Shakuntala. Somebody? Yes? Yeah, she was born of a Kshatriya who would become a saintly person. So it's not that distant, right? And Kanva Muni is a great personality, but he's not, in one sense, in the category of social position like Supracharya. You know, he may be as great a sage or like that, but as far as socially, you know, in the hierarchy, you know, he may be greater. Just like you have two friends, they're both equal, but then one becomes the temple president, one's not. So then there is that difference, right, in that managerial. Though as friends, they may be equal. So Kanva may be as powerful as Sukra, may not be. But as far as the universal order goes, then Sukracharya is in a very high position because of him being, you know, in control of, you know, heaven and earth by his influence as the planet Venus. Does that make sense? And also his position as the, you know, the guru for the demons, like that. Devayani then said, thou art indeed chosen by me, and, O king, it is understood that thou wilt accept me if my father bestow me on thee, right? Since you said, okay, if my father bestows me on you, so based on that, then it's accepted that if he bestows me on you, you're accepting me. Right? Right? So if there's something to be done, women can be quite straight. Thou needest not fear to accept my poor self bestowed on thee. Thou dost not indeed ask for me. Vaishampayana continued. So notice here also, my poor self. So she puts herself in a junior position. Does that make sense? Even though she's in a superior position socially, by the relationship she's putting herself in a junior. Vaishampayana continued. After this, Devayani quickly sent a maidservant to her father. The maid represented to Sukra everything as it had happened. And as soon as he heard all, Bhargava came and saw Yayati. And beholding Bhargava come, Yayati worshipped and adored that Brahmana, and stood to join palms in expectation of his commands. And Devayani then said, "This, O father, is the son of Nahusha. He took hold of my hand when I was in distress. I bow to thee. Bestow me upon him. I cannot wed any other person in the world." Sukra exclaimed, "O thou of splendid courage, thou hast indeed been accepted as her lord by this my dear daughter. I bestow thee on her on thee. Therefore, O son of Nahusha, accept her as thy wife." Right? So if she had done this before with Kacha, it might have worked out a little better, right? You know. But as soon as he didn't want, then she should have gone to the father. The father would have come, because here you have more of a problem than the other one. The other one's the technicality and the mood. By mood, yes, it's wrong, but technically it wasn't. He's the son of Brihaspati. She's the daughter of Sukracharya. Perfectly equally matched. You can't get a more perfect equal match than that, right? But because he studied under her father, so he dealt with her for 1,000 years like a sister. But anyway, a brahmachari has to deal with all women like that, as mother or sister or something. So it's not that, you know, he's dealing with one of them like he's going to be his wife, and he can't do that anyway. So the mood's there, but it could be changed. Right? It could be changed. You know, so at the same time. Then, how do you say it? But then he brought up the point of that, no, but we're both born from Sukracharya, right? You as his daughter and I, because of coming from his stomach, as his son. But that's a technical point that you could follow or could drop, because technically the rule is who's born from the same mother, right? Of course, then you have the element of Gotra, of course, but the Gotra is based on the birth. Right? Because that's the important. You don't want to mix gotras, because if the blood is too close and it's always mixed, then those who always intermix like that become crazy with time. Right? Just like the Egyptians used to be very powerful, because brothers and sisters always married each other. With time it destroyed the line. Right? They lost that strength and everything. Does that make sense? Yes.
My was once mentioning in class that Kali Yuga, he is so evil because he also comes in a line where brother and sister marry each other.
He also came in a line that brother and sister marry each other. I mean with Adama and what Hava, what's her name? Havyavati? Is that their brother and sister? I don't think so.
Maharaj was mentioning that when Brahma gives one to other son, and they got married to each other.
Oh, okay. Maybe in the Vedic. Okay, okay. Oh, and that's Kali.
That's Kali.
Oh, okay. You heard? He was saying that Kali, then he has that element that he was born in his parentage somewhere in the line. There's a brother and sister that are married.
The whole line comes like that.
Oh, the whole line comes like that. Oh, okay. Okay. Job. Okay, so in other words, if she requested and he didn't accept, but her passion and desire was so great, she could have just been intelligent, stopped there, went to her father, then her father asked him, then it would have happened, right? Because this we can see is even more of a breach, right? You're different castes, not even, you know, necessarily well matched. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Yayati then said, "I solicit the boon, O Brahmana, that by doing so, the sin of begetting a half-breed might not touch me." Right? In other words, when you have mixed varnas, then the children will be of a different nature. Right? It means they're of a third nature. So he was saying that won't come upon him. Right? It means the sin of it. It doesn't mean the kids won't be of a mixed nature. It means technically speaking, because he's a Kshatriya, she's a Brahmin, the kids will be Sutas. Right? But the sin shouldn't come to him for that happening. Right? Sukra, however, assured him by saying, "I shall absolve thee from the sin. Ask thou the boon that thou desirest. Fear not to wed her. I grant thee absolution. Maintain virtuously thy wife, the slender-waisted Devayani. Transports of happiness be thine in their company. This other maiden, Rishabhavan's daughter, Sarmishtha, should ever be regarded by thee, but thou shalt not summon her to thy bed." In other words, Sarmishtha, you should always deal with respectfully, but you can't have any children by her. Right? Vaishampayana continued, "Thus addressed by Sukra, Yayati then walked around the Brahmin, and the king then went through the auspicious ceremony of marriage according to the rites of the scriptures. And having received from Sukra this rich treasure of the excellent Devayani with Sarmishtha and those 2,000 maidens, and duly honored also by Sukra himself and the Asuras, the best of monarchs then, commanded by the high-souled Bhargava, returned to his capital with a joyous heart." Section 82. Vaishampayana said, "Yayati then, on returning to his capital, which was like unto the king of Indra, entered his inner apartments, and established there his bride Devayani. And then the monarch, directed by Devayani, established Vrishabhavan's daughter Sarmishtha in a mansion especially erected near the artificial woods of Ashok's in his gardens. And the king surrounded surrounded Vrishabhavan's daughter Sarmishtha with 1,000 maids, and honored her by making every arrangement for her food and garments." Okay, so, yes.
It's not a proper question, but how actually voting would take place when you know that the son becomes Sita, and then you cannot have a son from Sarmishtha. So then how are you supposed to take care of the lineage?
How does take care of the lineage? Because the point is that the Sutta could take up the nature of the mother or the father, right? Or neither, right? That's why it's not recommended, because you don't exactly know what you'll get because of the mixed nature. But we see is that there's so many kings in the line of married Brahmins, like that, or vice versa. Like Chavana married, what was her name? I can't remember, the daughter of a... I think she's counted as one of the great, you know, chaste women, like that. So there's quite a few situations where it comes up. Because a Brahmin and Kshatriya are not technically that much different. But at the same time, difference is made so that it's not just, how you say it? Things are kept properly. Because like this, the kings out of their passion may marry many girls, but they can only keep 8 of them as queens. Right? So then after that, then they wouldn't be. They would be basically, they would be wives. They'd have the facility, but they wouldn't enjoy the facility of kings, and their children wouldn't become, take up the line. Right? So here, if it wasn't, that distinction wasn't made, then you see the Kshatriyas, because the Brahmin girls are going to be extremely beautiful because of their purity in that. So they're, technically they're more beautiful than the others, in one sense, because of purity, if you appreciate purity. If not, then they're going to be beautiful because of just their physical features, right? And just their feminine qualities. Does that make sense? So then the kings would go by and just catch all these Brahmin girls to marry them. And then they would end up, they're not going to end up as queens necessarily. So they're going to end up as secondary, and that would be improper. Right? Because if they're Brahmins, they have to be held in the highest position. Does that make sense? So that distinction has to be made, because and also from the point is that the mix, it may come out nice, it may not. You can't say. You know what I'm saying? You can mix some few different things and come up with a word. You know, it's like if you did it plain, the sabji, it would be okay. But if you mix things, it may be great or it may be terrible. Right? That's the thing with mix. It's either great or disgusting. That's why it's not recommended, because you don't know which you'll get. You know what I'm saying? Yes. There is a risk, yeah. So that's why it's not recommended, because then, you know, so the parents' good consciousness, this and that, then it may come out fine. But it may not. So therefore, the risk is less, because the parents, even if they're good conscious or not, then generally the conscious is going to be within the realm of what they are anyway. Right? But if you put not good consciousness and a mix, then it's more of a problem. Yeah?
What was the reaction?
Reaction, because it's improper. Varna, it means fathering Varna Shankara is a sin. Like that? You know, because you're cultured, you should know to stay within your Varna. Those who are not cultured don't have to worry about staying, don't have to worry about not working within their Varna, because the uncultured are in one Varna. You understand? So the Brahma Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, then they stick to Brahma Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Like that. But the Shudras, then they marry other Shudras, it's fine. But they shouldn't marry into the... It's just a matter of mixing. You know, it's just like cooking or chemicals, or other, they just don't mix. Certain things just don't mix together. You know what I'm saying? You know, it goes nicely together. So it's not a matter of personal or discrimination. It's a matter of just knowing. You know? Just like you could say, what if he said, oh, it's discrimination. This boy wants to marry that girl, but she's already married to someone else. Right? So you'd say it's discrimination. Why he can't marry her? He wants to marry her. You know what I'm saying? That's the weakness of modern liberality, is it's based only on sentiment. But then you see there, they are. You could say, oh, they're very conservative. Oh, you don't appreciate or approve that he wants to marry a girl who's already married. Oh, you're so conservative. And the liberals thinking, no, I'm very liberal, broad-minded. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, everybody, doesn't matter who they are, they have what is approved of and what's not approved of. Doesn't matter how liberal or not liberal they are. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So if you can make that distinction, you know, then, or let's say he's liberal, you know, you're liberal, but let's say, you know, he wants to marry a 2-year-old girl. Right? Then again you can say, oh no, this is not right. But if you're liberal, then hey, what's the problem? So you're going to make restrictions anyway. So then what is the problem? And because you know it's not going to come out good. There's going to be a problem somewhere. So then if in the Vedas they know that by mixing natures it's going to come out a problem, why is that restriction considered by the liberals inappropriate? You know what I'm saying? If love is all important, then why not love for the one who's already married to someone else? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that unless you follow the Vedas, then there's always going to be a weakness. Because you don't actually know what to take at what stage. You know, because it switches. The material energy is being feminine is contradictory. So you don't know at which side you're supposed to be taking at which point. Generally you'll take one kind of definition, but you're taking that one definition, it does change. You know what I'm saying? The mother is taking care of the child. So that would be the proper thing. Now the mother is sick, the child is taking care of the mother. Right? It's switched. You'll say that's fine. But if we take the thing, no, the mother's superior, she always takes care of the child. So therefore the child can't take care of the mother because she's superior. Then that wouldn't be correct. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the problem. The modern liberal definition then will only take things in that one category. So when things do switch because of situations and material energy, it may or may not be appreciated. Right? Same with a conservative. There are times when you have to be liberal. There's times in liberal you have to be conservative. You know, like that. So like that. It's that okay? Hmm. You see here as though, because before there would be the thing that Devayani was very rough with Sarmishta, but we see here as she told the king make arrangements for her. So she got her own palace out in the garden with her own maids and everything like this. You know, and everything was taken care of her. So her garments, her food, everything. So she had very nice facility. But still, she's assisting Devayani. Right? But it was with Devayani that the royal son of Nahusha sported like a celestial for many years in joy and bliss. And when her season came, the fair Devayani conceived. And she brought forth as her first child a fine boy. And when 1,000 years had passed, Vishaparvan's daughter, Samishta, having attained to puberty, saw that her season had come. She became anxious and said to herself, "My season hath arrived, but I have not yet chosen a husband. Oh, what hath happened? What should I do? How am I to obtain the fruition of my wishes? Devayani hath become mother. My youth is doomed to pass away in vain. Shall I choose him also for my husband whom Devayani hath chosen? This is indeed my resolve. That monarch should give me a son. Will not the virtuous one grant me a private interview?" Because it's not wrong, because she is Devayani's maidservant, as we discussed before, that Devayani's husband is her husband. Right? But technically it's supposed to be with the approval of Devayani. Right? Vaishampayana continued, while Samishta was thus busy with her thoughts, the king wandering listlessly, came to that very wood of Ashoks, and beholding Sarmishta before him, stood there in silence. Then Sarmishta, of sweet smile, assailing the monarch before her, with nobody to witness what might pass, approached him and said with joined palms, "O son of Nahusha, no one can behold the ladies that dwell in the inner apartments of Soma, of Indra, of Vishnu, of Yama, of Varuna, and of thee. Thou knowest, O king, that I am both handsome and well born. I solicit thee, O king, my season hath arrived. See that it goeth not in vain." Right? So it means that Indra, Vishnu, Yama, Varuna, their women are not seen by others. Right? Isn't it? Have you ever seen a picture of, you know, Indra's wife? Think about it. Or Varuna's wife? Right? Yama's wife? You ever even heard of them? You know they're married, they must have wives. Right? So this is how it works in the cultured society. Does that make sense? Like that. Does that make sense? In other words, common on the street, that's not how things work. Yes? Yes? No? Yayati answered, Well do I know that honor of birth is thine, born as thou art in the proud race of the Danavas. Thou art gifted with beauty. I do not indeed see even the speck of fault in thy feature. But Ushanas commanded me, while I was united with Devayani, that never should Vishaparvan's daughter be summoned to my bed. Samishta then said, "It hath been said, O king, that it is not sinful to lie on the occasion of a joke, in respect of women sought to be enjoyed, on occasions of marriage, in peril of immediate death, and of the loss of one's whole fortune." Right? These are places where lying is not wrong. Right? So even though truth is always to be spoken, these are times when lies can be told. Yes?
Repeat them again.
You want to catch up on when can we work this out? How much do you stretch, you know, all my wealth, right? Today I only had 10 paisa, you know, so. Okay. To lie on the occasion of a joke, right? You joke with others, you say a lie, right? Like that. In respect of women sought to be enjoyed, right? On occasions of marriage, in peril of immediate death, and of the loss of one's whole fortune. Yes? Lying is excusable on these five occasions. O king, it is not true that he is fallen who speaks not the truth when asked. Oh. Both Devayani and myself have been called hither as companions to serve the same purpose. When therefore thou hadst said that you wouldest confine thyself to... When therefore thou hadst said that you wouldest confine thyself to one only amongst us, that was a lie that hadst spoken. Yayatri replied, in other words, she's saying is that it was means because it's in relation to marriage, so what you spoke at the time saying you would confine yourself to Devayani, that was a lie. Right? She's telling him. Right? I don't think he was thinking like that, but she was saying... So because it was in regards to marriage, then it was a lie, so therefore it's not a problem. Right? But you must remember in all these things that there is a reaction and there is sin. Right? Does that make sense? So the point is if it's according to Scripture, then there's no sin. Right? But there still is a reaction. Does that make sense? Right? The animal is killed not according to sacrifice. Then there is a sin. And for that sin, you will be born however many hairs on the animal's body and be killed. Right? But the reaction is you killed that animal in sacrifice. Next life, the animal will be the human doing the sacrifice. You'll be the animal that will be able to, will be killed. Does that make sense? So the sin is removed when it's properly connected to the Shastra. The reaction is not. Right? But most people concentrate on sin and not the reaction. Unless, of course, the reaction is good. Does that make sense? So here, then, technically there'll be no sin because it was in marriage. So there'll be no sin. So he won't have not spoken the truth or be said to be one who hasn't spoken the truth or get a reaction for lying there. No, that he won't get. I mean, yeah, he won't get the sin from it, but it doesn't mean he won't get a reaction for not following Shukracharya's order. Does that make sense? Yes, you have to distinguish always between the two. They go together, right? But at the same time, if it's according to sacrifice, it can be separated. Yes? If you lie in explaining a joke, you can expect a reaction. Yes, there'll be no sin, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to get, you know, punched, slapped, tickled, sat on, you know, or kicked. Or, you know, like that. And that's if you deal with the men. If you deal with the women, then you got some may have some serious grumpiness to look forward to. May not, it's your risk. You know? Like that. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, so it's depending upon what kind of joke it was, then it may be taken lightheartedly, but if it's too shocking for the other person, then you might get a serious reaction by being chased around the block or something. Right? Yayati replied, "A king should ever be a model in the eyes of his people. That monarch certainly meets with destruction who speaks an untruth. As for myself, I dare not speak an untruth even if the greatest loss threatens me." Right? So this is a king. So even if he's going to lose this whole kingdom, lose the world, he won't speak an untruth. Right? So you see there are kings like that. So Yayati is one of them. Sarmishta answered, "O monarch, one may look upon her friend's husband as her own. One's friend's marriage is the same as one's own." That friends means, it means close, like that. Their intimate friend's husband becomes one's own, technically. Does that make sense? Here, because you're taking the maidservant is called a friend, it's called a saki. Right? But those who don't have a relationship, they're nitya sakis. But otherwise, saki technically is the same. Does that make sense? Because of that intimacy. Does that make sense? If it wasn't, how is it that you can have the rasa dance? Right? Because otherwise, they're all friends of Radharani. So therefore, then, like that. Does that make sense? Thou hast been chosen by my friend as her husband. Thou art as much my husband, therefore. Yayati then said, right? So you can see it's all religious principles, we're getting it through, but how clever. This is why it said the wife is the father when it comes to religious, because they're very expert in utilizing them. But in this case, maybe not so for the king's benefit. Yayati then said, it is indeed my vow always to grant what one asketh. As thou askest me, tell me then what I am to do. Sarvishta then said, absolve me, O king, from sin. Protect my virtue. Becoming a mother by thee, let me practice the highest virtue in this world. It is said, O king, that a wife, a slave, and a son can never earn wealth for themselves. What they earn always belongeth to him who owneth them. All right? A wife, a slave, that means, you know, an assistant, the Shudra, and the son, right? So the wife, let's say she's going out and has a job making money, that money is her husband's. Understand? It's not her money, it's her husband's money. Right? But gifts and that given to her, that's her money, it's not the husband's. Does that make sense? There's a difference. So the son also, while he's under the protection of the father, the money he makes is the father's. Or the shudra who works for you, it belongs to the father. Thinking of moving out. So then, does that make sense? Right? You have a business. You hire some shudras to work for you. They make money by selling the things in your shop. Is it their money? No, it's your money. Right? Does that make sense? So these three, it's not separate. Indeed, I am indeed the slave of Devayani. Thou art Devayani's master and lord. Thou art, therefore, O king, my master and lord, as much as Devayani's. I solicit thee, O fulfill my wishes. Right? So here, she's now come from another angle. She tried the one, the angle of truth. And that, if it was a lie, you could get by that. He didn't buy that, because he says, I won't lie even in those situations. Right? Even if I'm going to lose my life or my kingdom, I'm still not going to lie. So then she tried another one, that the husband of the friend is also one's own husband, right? And so therefore, like that. That one works, because he said, then he didn't say, oh no, this is not right. He said, whatever someone asks me, I grant. Right? So that means if she asks, then he'll grant it. Right? Does that make sense? Right. Vaishampayana continued, thus addressed by Sarmishta, the monarch was persuaded into the truth of all she spoke. He therefore honored Sarmishta by protecting her virtue. And they passed some time together and taking affectionate farewell of each other. They then parted, each returning to whence he or she had come. And it came to pass that Sarmishta's sweet smiles and fair eyebrows conceived in consequence of that connection of hers with that best of monarchs. And, O king, that lotus-eyed lady then in due course of time brought forth a son of the splendor of a celestial child and of eyes like lotus petals. Section 83. Vaishampayana said, when Devayani of sweet smiles heard of the birth of this child, she became jealous. And, O Bharata, Sarmishta became an object of her unpleasant reflections. And Devayani, repairing to her, addressed her thus, O thou of fair eyebrows, what sin is this thou hast committed by yielding to the influence of lust, right? Because she's not thinking that it's the king's child. You know? Her point is that technically you're her maidservant, so you can't separately have a husband unless she approves. So how is it you have a child when you're not married? Right? Because her father already told Yayati that he can't be the father. Right? That would technically be the way it would work. So Mishnah replied, a certain rishi, a virtuous soul and fully conversant with the Vedas, came to me. Capable of granting boons, he was solicited by me to grant my wishes that were based on considerations of virtue. O thou of sweet smiles, I would not seek the sinful fulfillment of my desires. I tell thee truly that this child of mine is by that rishi, right? But you remember in the beginning, at the marriage time, Devayani referred to him as a rishi. She wasn't leaning on the king part too much. So everything she spoke here is exactly Devayani's words. Rishi, a virtuous soul and fully conversant with the Vedas. He said, I was a brahmachari who learned all the Vedas. Right? Okay, capable of granting boons. And my wishes based on considerations of virtue, right? She convinced him through Dharma Shastra. Right? Does that make sense? Devayani answered, it is all right if that be the case, O timid one. But if the lineage, name, and family of that Brahman be known to me, I should like, known to thee, I should like to hear them. Sarmishta replied, O thou of sweet smiles, in asceticism and energy, that rishi is resplendent like the sun himself. Right, because the king is also known as a representative of the sun. Beholding him, I had not any need to make these inquiries. Right? She was, convinced of his high... Yes?
I think also there was a thing about the board could be also used as Raja. Raja means to shine.
To shine.
So Raja Rishi.
Okay. I mean, that's a play on words in the poetics, you could say. Because Raja is also a name of the sun.
Raja means to shine. So Raja means one who's shining like a sun. So then there
would be... Oh, okay. So that's another meaning of the Raja. You caught that?
She didn't want to make it like direct, so
yeah, yeah. Well, it's like everything she's saying is correct, so later on when she says this, is, well, I did tell you. Right? Remember that one. Devayani then said, if this is true, if indeed thou hadst obtained thy child from such a superior Brahman, then, O Sarmishta, I have no cause of anger. Vaishampayana continued, having thus talked and laughed with each other, they separated. Devayani returned, talked and laughed, so that means there's a conclusion, right? So she came, then there's some beginning, there's the main body, and then there's some conclusion. Vaishampayana continued, okay. Devayani returned to the palace with the knowledge imparted to her by Sarmishta. And, O king, Yayati also begot on Devayani two sons called Yadu and Turvasu, who are like Indra and Vishnu. And Sarmishta, the daughter of Rishaparvan, became through the royal sage the mother of three sons in all, named Drahyu, Anu, and Puru. And, O king, it so came to pass. This is called reaction. That one day Devayani of sweet smiles, accompanied by Yayati, went into a solitary part of the woods. Is it noted that it always says Devayani of sweet smiles? Accompanied by Yayati, went into a solitary part of the woods in the king's extensive park, right? In other words, his park is like a forest, right? And there she saw three children of celestial beauty playing with perfect trustfulness. Right? It means there's three kids playing in the king's garden. And it could be when they see them, then they run off because they're not supposed to be there. But even they see them, they still play there. Just fully comfortable in playing in that forest. So Devayani will wonder, well, what is this? And Devayani asked in surprise, whose children are they, O king? Who are so handsome and like unto the children of the celestials. In splendor and beauty they are like thee. Oops. I should think. Right? In other words, she's complimenting him that he is in beauty like the celestials and prowess and all that. But she didn't, right, catch more possible connection here. Vaishampayana continued. And Devayani, without waiting for a reply from the king, asked the children themselves, "Ye children, what is your lineage?" Right? It's good, otherwise he would have had to lie, right? "Who is your father? Answer me truly. I desire to know all." Those children then pointed at the king with their forefinger and spoke of Sarmishta as their mother. Right? This is called reaction. And having so said, the children approached the king to clasp his knees. Right? But the king dared not caress them in the presence of Devayani. The boys then left the place and made towards their mother, weeping in grief, right? Because their father wouldn't acknowledge their presence, right? Because they don't know who this Devayani is. And the king, at this conduct of the boys, became very much abashed. But Devayani, marking the affection of the children for the king, learnt the secret and, addressing Sarmishta, said, "How hast thou dared to do me an injuring, being as thou art dependent on me?" Means, you know, without going through me. I mean, she could have approached Devayani and said, you know, "Please," and then maybe she would have then approved or approached her father like that. In other words, the father made that condition because she had insulted Devayani, but it wasn't, as we'll see later, that he intended it would remain like that. But at least it had to be to where she had fully that mood that I am her maidservant, right? Which you can see she does have. So if it had been asked, it would have worked, right? So this is one of the points of asking, right? It does sometimes work to one's benefit, right? And not asking can sometimes not work to one's benefit. "Dost thou not fear to have recourse once more to that asura custom of thine?" I'm not quite sure of which one they're referring to. Sarmishta said, "O thou of sweet..." Sarmishta said, "O thou of sweet smiles, all that I told thee of a rishi is perfectly true. I have acted rightly and according to the precepts of virtue. Therefore I do not fear thee. When thou hadst chosen the king for thy husband, I too chose him as mine, O beautiful one. A friend's husband is, according to usage, one's own husband as well." Usage here means tradition. Right? So that's there. It is practiced by the sages, therefore it's accepted by other great personalities, and therefore by usage it becomes proper, because it's based on the Veda, and it's approved of by the sages, so therefore then it becomes, that's what is called smriti, right? Tradition, what is given by the sages, right? Does that make sense? The sages study the Veda, then they give instruction and application of the Veda in practical terms. That's called smriti. "Thou art the daughter of a Brahmin, and therefore deservest my worship and regard. But dost thou not know that this royal sage is held by me in greater esteem still?" Vaishampayana said, "Devayani then, hearing those words of hers, exclaimed, O king, thus thou hast wronged me. O monarch, I shall not live here any longer." And saying this, she quickly rose, with tearful eyes, to go to her father. And the king was grieved to see her thus, and alarmed greatly, followed in her footsteps, endeavoring to appease her wrath. But Devayani, with eyes red with anger, would not desist. Speaking not a word to the king, with eyes bathed in tears, she soon reached the side of her father, Ushanas, the son of Kavi. And beholding her father, she stood before him after due salutations, and Yayati also, immediately after, saluted and worshipped Bhargava. Right, so it says here, an alarm, endeavoring to appease her wrath. He didn't like get upset. Well, what's the trip? You know, get over it. No, he's trying to appease her wrath, even though she's not even talking to him. Right? And so you can't say that Yayati wouldn't be in any a man, right? Would you in any way be able to say that he's not a man? You know, man meaning, you know, strong and fixed and determined and powerful and in control and... No. So this is how he's dealing. Right? And Devayani said, O Father, virtue hath been vanquished by vice. The low have risen, the high have fallen. I have been offended again by Sarmishta, the daughter of Rishabharvan. Right? So that was the whole point, is it was... So she had learned, if she had gone and asked, then I'm sure that they would have done, but that she didn't, then it still means she still hasn't completely learned. Does that make sense? So that's why it may seem that it's there, but, you know, she did this all behind the back, right? Okay. Oh, Father, virtue hath been vanquished by vice. The Lord... Oh, okay. Three sons have been begotten upon her by this king Yayati. This king, not my husband. Right? But, O Father, being luckless, I have got only two sons. So that's even worse. She has more than me. You know, if she had, you know, two and she only had one, okay, we might be able to get by. If she's got three, I only have one, that means he likes her more than me. O son of Bhrigu, this king is renowned for his knowledge of the precepts of religion. But O Kavya, I tell thee that he hath deviated from the path of rectitude. Sukra, hearing all this, said, O monarch, since thou hast made vice thy beloved pursuit, though fully acquainted with the precepts of religion, invincible decrepitude shall paralyze thee. Yayati answered, Adorable one, I was solicited by the daughter of the Danava king to fructify her season. I did it from a sense of virtue and not from other motives. That male person who, being solicited by a woman in her season, doth not grant her wishes, is called, O Brahmana, by those conversant with the Vedas, a slayer of the embryo. He who solicited in secret by a woman full of desire and in season, goeth not into her, loses his virtue, and is called by the learned a killer of the embryo. O king of Bhrigu, for these reasons, and anxious to avoid sin, I went to Sarmishta. Sukra then replied, Thou art dependent on me, thou should have awaited my command. Having acted falsely in the matter of thy duty, O son of Nahusha, thou hast been guilty of the sin of theft. Right? In other words, that's correct. He's not saying that there's a problem there. In other words, husband and wife, they want a child, it's the time in that, then the wife wants the child, and the husband should be giving the child. Right? That's the rule. So then, in here, so that he didn't speak on. Okay, that's correct. But now he's saying, but you're under me, and I gave you an order. You could have, it means she should have gone to Devayani, or if she didn't, she went to him. The king should have gone to Devayani and to the father and said, this is her position, what should I do? And then they would have made the decision since they had given it. Does that make some sense? So in other words, technically you may be right on one lower thing, but then on the higher thing, if it's wrong, then it's a problem. Does that make sense? Vaishampayana continued, Yayati, the son of Nahusha, thus cursed by the angry Ushanas, was then divested of his youth and immediately overcome by decrepitude. What's decrepitude?
Old age.
How was this person appropriate?
How was it appropriate? It was appropriate in that the element is that it's in youth you make children, and when you're old you can't. And so his problem was in creating children that he shouldn't have. So therefore, then, by being old you can't do that. Does that make sense? Divested of his youth, immediately overcome by decrepitude. And Yati said, O son of Bhrigu, I have not yet been satiated with youth or with Devayani. Therefore, O Brahmana, be graceful unto me, so that decrepitude might not touch me. Sukra then answered, I never speak an untruth, even now. O king, thou art attacked by decrepitude. But if thou likest, thou art competent to transfer this thy decrepitude to another. Yayati said, O Brahmana, let it be commanded by thee that son of mine who givest me his youth shall enjoy my kingdom, and shall receive both virtue and fame. Sukra replied, O king, son of Nahusha, thinking of me, thou mayest transfer this thy decrepitude to whomever thou likest. That son who shall give thee his youth shall become thy successor to the throne. He shall also have long life, wide fame, and numerous progeny. Okay, so we'll end here. So, unfortunately, this whole thing, because of that, then Devayani's sons won't become king. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.